Yeah.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, alongside with Angelo Berkowitz tonight, who should be joining us very shortly here on Jet Nation Radio. We have a great show coming up for you tonight. Lots to talk about still in the world of gangrene as the Jets are moving closer and closer to preseason as we try and get through this patch of the year called OTAs and offseason as the draft is now definitely behind us. You know, the Jets signing Calvin Pryor this week is probably the biggest news, where they are finally locked up for a safety now, and they got their first-round pick done and squared away, so there will not be any holdouts or any issues like that. Lots to talk about in the world of the Jets. You have the Stephen Hill talk. You know, everybody wondering on the Jets website, the bloggers wondering, will Stephen Hill start this year? Jason Amaro talking about, you know, can he catch 100 passes this year? You have Michael Vick talking about if he's playing, he will take the Jets to the Super Bowl. This is the same Michael Vick who a couple weeks ago told us all that, you know, he was going to sit on the bench and this is Geno's team. It's amazing to me. You know, you have a guy like Michael Vick who gets signed by the Jets, and it's almost like my big question of the night, and I would love to hear the sound off from Jet Nation and from the Jet Nation forums. Give us a call tonight over at 646-716-4697. Again, that's 646-716-4697. Lots to talk about, like I said. We're going to start off, you know, the whole Michael Vick thing is really amazing to me. You go out and you get rid of Mark Sanchez. You get rid of the Mark Sanchez baggage. You get rid of the contract. Basically what you're saying is we're moving on from Mark Sanchez. We're moving on from that bad contract that Mike Tannenbaum gave him. And, you know, and we're taking a different approach. So I don't know, you know, where this loss comes in, where now you're sitting here saying to yourself, well, what do you think about Michael Vick? You sign him for $5 million. He comes in. And everybody immediately says, well, he's the backup, he's the backup. Then Michael Vick comes and says, well, I'm not here to sit on the bench. I'm here to play. Well, that's great. We hope you come in with the intention to play. And then all of a sudden, he changes his tone and says, this is Geno Smith's team. I'm coming in here. We all want to help Geno. We all want to try and make him improve. We all want to do this. I mean, which side are you on? Are you coming in here to compete and play football, or are you coming in here to hold the clipboard and help Geno Smith not throw third-quarter interceptions? Because it just doesn't make sense, the back and forth from Michael Vick. What side are you taking here? Did you sign that contract with the intention to start? Or did you sign that contract to take a nice big fat paycheck and sit down? And if it was up to Michael Vick, you don't know. That's the worst part about it. You have no idea. He tells you one thing and then says another. And the coaching staff, I can tell you right now, Rex Ryan sitting here tonight, 8:05 on Jet Nation Radio, June 3rd, 2014, Rex Ryan does not want Michael Vick as his starting quarterback. If Michael Vick is the starting quarterback, that means that his second quarterback that was drafted in his era was a flop and regressed again. If your quarterbacks are regressing under a head coach, two quarterbacks in 5 years, that's when you know it's a problem. And that's where you can say, well, Rex doesn't do offense, Rex does defense. You're the head coach of an NFL football team. If you have a rookie quarterback go into year two who ended the year strong, and you got a veteran who probably couldn't start on a lot of teams in this league playing for your team, that means you did a bad job trying to progress your rookie quarterback into becoming somewhat of a good NFL quarterback. I find it amusing that now Michael Vick says he can take the Jets to the Super Bowl. You couldn't take Philadelphia from being below 500 with LeSean McCoy, Riley Cooper, DeSean Jackson. But you're going to come to the Jets and you're going to take them to the Super Bowl. The only reason you're on the Jets is because you were the best viable option for a backup quarterback. And they think you bring some assets to the team. But yet you think that you're here for backups, Super Bowl, backups, Super Bowl. Which one is it? I'm starting to get a feel here from the Jets, from, you know, the players and stuff like that. Everybody wants Geno Smith to succeed. Because if Geno Smith succeeds, that means the long-term future of the organization is bright. You have a quarterback, finish the year strong. Finish the year on a good note. Finish the year with a W. And then what happens? You end the season and you're going to bring Michael Vick to take it all away? You're going to bring Michael Vick to come in for a year? Stopgap, Geno Smith probably. Jets start 0-3, 0-4. You'll see Michael Vick. And then you'll see an imploding season where probably everybody gets fired. Where probably everybody is out. Which move are you going to make? Which direction are you going to go? I believe my friendly co-host of mine, Angelo Berkowitz, is on the line with us. Angelo, what's going on?
Hello, Brandon.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, my God. I had to swim through so much crap to get in here. I just started swimming. I got some more crap because I heard the last 30 seconds of what you were saying.
Oh yeah. Go ahead, give me a follow up. Then go for it.
No, I don't even understand. What's your point? I think I agree with you actually.
Yeah. Well, you should. Everybody should always agree with me. My point is, your boy. And we'll call him your boy because you're the new fan club leader of Michael Vick. I have a big problem with him. I have a problem with the different direction. I have a problem with coming out saying it's Geno's team and then the next week saying you're taking him to the Super Bowl. I have a problem with the Jets going and people thinking that Michael Vick is actually a suitable starter for this team. I have a problem with Michael Vick coming in here and causing controversy when you just got rid of a bunch of controversy this offseason. And I also have a problem with anybody who thinks, and this goes out there for anybody who's a Jets fan, NFL fan, I have a problem. If you think that it's a good thing that Michael Vick is the starting quarterback for this team, then you're dead wrong. Because if Michael Vick is the starting quarterback for this team, like I've been saying, you're talking about a second rookie quarterback in 5 years who has regressed to lose his job to a garbage, washed-up player. Simple as that.
Right. No, I totally agree with you, Brandon. If Michael Vick starts games for you, then yes, in the future you are in trouble because you have no direction any longer. Because it's hard to – if you're going to take Geno Smith out and then expect him to actually start again at some point in the future, maybe 2015, it's not going to happen.
Correct.
So I think that, yes, the best course of action is for – and. The best case scenario is that Geno Smith starts the whole season. I agree with you.
Now, let me go here, Angelo. We do have Eric in Miami on the phone. Eric in Miami, you are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
What's going on, gentlemen? Good evening. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you for asking, both of you. I find it very funny that you guys bring up this topic because, you know, you guys have to be positive. You know, unfortunately, I understand we're Jet fans. We haven't had much positivity. But to be honest with you, to be talking about a quarterback controversy is a good thing because a couple of years ago we were talking about bringing Drew Stanton in. Would you rather be talking about Drew Stanton right now or Michael Vick?
Well, here's the thing, Eric, and I would love for a response.
I'm sorry to jump on you, but there's really no thing to talk about there. You're talking about Drew Stanton. We're bringing in Drew Stanton a couple years ago,
but now we got Michael Vick. But how is that relevant, though? How is talking about backup quarterbacks relevant to the situation? Here's my point, and here's how Michael Vick is relevant. Michael Vick is a former Pro Bowl quarterback who had many great years in this league, who had a great career, and in my opinion, if Michael Vick didn't have the complete off-the-field disasters and all of his issues and going to prison and, you know, ruining his career, I think Michael Vick would have been a Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's
how has he ruined his career? His career is not over, sir.
How is he?
His career is not over.
Hold on one second. Let me speak. Michael Vick was the man in Atlanta. Michael Vick was a $100 million man who owned that team. Michael Vick made the biggest mistake of his life, went to prison for 3 years, and went to back up Donovan McNabb. He went from the top to the bottom. And where has he gone since he went from the top? He has gone absolutely nowhere.
He took Donovan's job.
Right, and where did it lead him to? Where did it lead him to?
And led him to a successful post career. After his little mistakes, he's been riding a thin line, and guess what? He's on that line. He hasn't messed up.
What is successful about it? What did he do in Philly that was successful? I would love to know.
That team was pretty bad a couple years ago. It went to four NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl.
Donovan McNabb is a winner. How many NFC Championship games and Super Bowl? How many division titles did Michael Vick win in Philadelphia?
But he's won games.
Well, that's great. Drew Bledsoe won games for the Patriots. What does that have to do with anything?
He's a better quarterback than Geno. And if you're going to fight me on that...
But what does that mean? You don't know anything about the Jets, man.
You don't know anything about the Jets if you're going to go ahead and say that Geno is a better quarterback than Michael Vick right now.
But I want to know what that's based off of. What's that based off of? Hold on, Angela. I'll take this. What is that based off of?
That's based on experience. That's based on proven NFL passes.
Eric, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Okay, great. What was Michael Vick's numbers in the games he played for last year, and what was his win and loss record?
If he would have stayed healthy.
Oh, if he would have stayed healthy,
his numbers would have been a lot better.
If I won the lottery, I would be living in a mansion on the hill in Manhattan somewhere.
Listen, I don't have ESPN in front of me. I'm walking my dog right now, so I wouldn't be able to counter you on your numbers question,
right.
so you can look a lot better to your audience. But I'm gonna let you know right now that Michael Vick is a better player.
But what is that based off of, based on what he's done?
He completes passes to people. He runs out of the pocket. He makes decisions.
So Geno Smith doesn't complete passes to people or make decisions.
At this point in his career, and it's coming into the second year, he's not as experienced or good enough to compete against Michael Vick. Michael Vick is way beyond
Geno's level. So then how come every single coach and offensive coordinator on the Jets has said that Geno Smith is ahead of Michael Vick?
Because they're reading the same book that I have read, and I continue to read, and I've read it every single time. It's called The Secret.
You think
positive, you stay positive.
Right.
Okay.
But that's the secret, baby. I hope you're right, and I love the positivity. But again, at the end of the day,
well, I know you're not used to positivity being a Jets fan. I understand that completely.
I am very positive, Eric. Thank you very much. But to be honest with you, I don't see where anybody can base off of other than Michael Vick has had a better career than Geno Smith. Obviously, the guy's been in the league for over 10 years. Okay,
when he was playing in Atlanta, who was he throwing the ball to? Tell me the receivers
that Michael Vick was throwing the ball to when he was in Atlanta. Who was Geno throwing the ball to last year? Who was Geno throwing the ball to last year? And he finished with a better record than Michael Vick did last year.
He threw the ball 46 times to Kellen Winslow, and I don't believe Kellen Winslow had a drop. Maybe one or two. I don't know. I know that, guys, when he threw the ball, sometimes he threw it on point. Sometimes it wasn't thrown on point. He didn't have enough time. It's a team effort. I'm not saying Geno is the worst player on our team. What I'm saying is Geno at this time in his career is not
but,
the player
but Eric,
the Jets
I
to
just,
lead us
Eric,
to the playoffs.
Eric, I just want to know, I keep asking the same question. What is that based off of?
That's based off of last year and based
so
off
Michael
what I've
Vick
seen in West Virginia.
Michael
in West Virginia.
Vick. Oh, now it's based off of West Virginia. Oh man!
Let me tell
Mike,
you, and
Michael
and
Vick
and while here in Miami, and while I'm here in Miami, I also saw him in high school. Just so you know,
Eric. I mean that's just I mean so your opinion of Geno Smith is not as good a quarterback as Michael Vick because you saw him play in high school and at West Virginia, and Michael Vick played six games last year and then pulled his hamstring yet again, hasn't finished
at this point in his career. At this point in his career,
since Atlanta, he has not finished a full season, probably since you were in high school. I mean, it's insane.
At his point in his career, he doesn't have the experience or the know-how how to win in the NFL.
He won eight games last year. He went 8-8 last year. How can you say
no?
No,
the team. He didn't lose. He lost us eight games. Okay,
he lost us eight games. But he doesn't get any credit
games.
For the win.
That
how about
team,
in Atlanta
that,
on Monday Night Football,
hey,
driving
have,
down the field
when
to
you
win
have
the game.
To use Sheldon Richardson to run the ball more than once?
Man.
You got issues.
Can
okay?
I ask you a
we have issues.
Can I ask you a question?
We have major issues.
Can I ask you a question? Who won the game in Atlanta, 10.5-point underdogs on Monday Night Football?
Jeff Cumberland. Nick
Foles. Eric
Fulp
in Miami.
You.
Eric,
you, brother. Hey, I saw
Eric,
the game. I was in Atlanta.
Eric in
Fulp
Miami.
You.
Eric in Miami. I got a roll. Oh, man. It's always fun and always a pleasure here on Jet Nation Radio. And, Angelo, you have been very quiet. Eric in Miami is no longer on the line with us, so you can go ahead.
No, it's too late. I actually had him ask him a question. He's gone now.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, yeah. I have, when you start when you start going down that road, you know, eventually I have to jump on it.
I know you get all riled up. I know, Brandon. Once we start on it, it'll be a 45-minute conversation about who's better. For me, that's not even a relevant question. What I wanted to ask him was, what is his ideal situation? Yes, he's talking about Drew Stanton. Yeah, we'd rather have Michael Vick than Drew Stanton. I would have wouldn't you rather have Michael Vick than Drew Stanton on the team?
Of course, I would like to have Joe Montana in his prime play for the Jets next year. But I just want to know
where
the relevance was, Angelo. There was Angelo. I mean, am I crazy or am I just? I guess you know that guy's going to probably think I'm a jerk, but that's okay. I mean, where is the relevance of a guy in Miami telling me Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith because he saw him play in high school down in Miami?
I don't know. to me, where they are in their careers right now and who's better is not relevant.
Right.
Because what would you like to happen? And that is to have Geno Smith start games.
Well, let's go with Joe here. Joe is on the line here, Angelo. Sorry to cut you off. Joe wants to talk quarterbacks. I hope Joe is going to be nice to me. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'm not going to be nice to Eric from Miami. That's for damn sure.
Nice guy.
If he thinks you're a jerk, wait until I get done. The whole concept of Michael Vick being a good quarterback is laughable to me. Michael Vick is kind of, to me, in my opinion, is kind of a never was. He showed a lot of flashes, but he's never, with the exception of half a season in Philly, he never really put it all together. He never did.
Go ahead, Angelo.
I mean, at his best in Atlanta, he had like an 81 quarterback rating. I mean, this is not exactly a guy who you depended on to win games ever.
Right.
No, you're right, Joe. You're exactly right. But he is better than Geno Smith right now. Geno Smith was the 37th ranked quarterback in football.
That's debatable because last year,
while throwing a hell of a lot more passes
than Michael Vick, actually had a higher completion percentage.
Than Michael Vick.
Yeah, and Geno didn't have DeSean Jackson.
Where were those completions going?
To crap? His,
like 6.4?
Angelo, come on. Angelo, that's silly.
Oh,
Angelo, that's silly to say, though, because when you're talking, I mean, I apologize, but come on, dude. I mean, you're talking about throwing the ball. You're going to talk about yards per attempt when a guy is throwing the ball to arguably the best downfield receiver in the game in DeSean Jackson. If you give the Jets downfield weapons like that, of course Geno's going
to
throw the ball.
Not to mention the fact when you only throw 141 passes, your yards per attempt are going to be skewed in your favor against the guy who threw over 400 passes.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's a really unfair comparison there.
We're going to go back to the last guy then, if we keep going down this road. Mark Sanchez, with better weapons, would have been an awesome quarterback.
No. Mark Sanchez is just a terrible football player.
Angelo, I actually tend to agree with you there. I think that Mark Sanchez last year, if he would have stepped in with the same offense that Geno Smith, I think he probably would have had equal or better numbers. I don't think he would have put up Nick Foles numbers last year, but I think he would have given the Jets a better chance to win during the stretch of the season last year. Absolutely. But
that's debatable.
Of course it's debatable, Joe. But Joe, my problem is I don't know why we're sitting here and getting ready for, you know, preseason in a couple months and training camp. We can't sit here and tell me that Michael Vick right now is better than Geno Smith when Michael Vick can't stay on the field, he can't win football games.
I don't think he is better than Geno Smith. A very specific reason. I think he brought in because he's actually very – it should be fairly easy for Geno Smith to beat him out in training camp. But at the same time, because he's a big name with a completely undeserved reputation, that's a big confidence booster for Geno Smith if he beats out Michael Vick.
I agree.
So, I mean, there's a method to the madness here, if you follow it. There's not a single person inside the Jets organization that has any desire to see Michael Vick start a single game for the Jets this year.
Angelo, I knew that was coming from Angelo. He has no desire to see Michael Vick. Angelo doesn't want to see Michael Vick.
Listen, can I speak for a second?
Go for it.
Joe.
Yeah.
When you say if and you use that as proof, you don't see how wrong that is? You say if and you use that as proof. If Geno Smith did this or if Geno Smith had that, then he would have been this. And there's your proof.
What the hell are you talking about?
You said if Geno Smith had better weapons like Michael Vick,
I didn't say
better.
Anything about Geno Smith's weapons. I didn't say a word about Geno Smith. You said something about Geno Smith's weapons.
Michael Vick's weapons.
Don't put words in my mouth. I just pointed out that Geno Smith had a higher completion percentage despite throwing three times as many passes as Geno Smith did last year, as Michael Vick did last year. And you brought up their yards per attempt average as proof of somehow to prove that Michael Vick was better. And the reality is you're talking about a much smaller sample, and he's thrown to the best deep threat in the league.
Bingo.
So that's an unfair comparison. I didn't mention a damn thing about the weapons that Geno Smith had.
You just made
it up. You brought that up.
It's implied.
What?
Oh, man.
What's implied? I didn't imply anything. I just pointed out that he had a higher completion percentage despite throwing three times as many passes. That's all I said. And you implied it in your own damn head.
Oh my goodness gracious! Oh man, let's just keep going.
I never said a word about that.
Hold on, guys, fellas. All right, first off, Joe, I agree with you. Okay. I agree with everything that you're saying. I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's very debatable when you say that Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith. Because, again, I want somebody out there in the United States, in Europe, in China, in the Philippines, anywhere, to tell me what are you basing that off of. And if you tell me you saw Geno Smith play in Miami in high school, I can't do it.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, what are you basing it off of? You're basing it off Michael Vick.
this dovetails nicely into the rest of your show. When wondering why the Jets are a laughingstock, it's BS like this right here.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't think anybody in the building at Florham Park thinks that Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith anyway, or they would not have signed him. I think
Michael Vick is
there as a stopgap starter in case something happens and they can't, and nobody wants to see Matt Sims go in and play. Michael Vick, there's nothing – again, somebody, 646-716-4697. What are you basing it off of that Geno Smith is not as good as Michael Vick right now in this time? Is it Michael Vick can't stay healthy? Michael Vick can't win with premier offensive weapons? Or Michael Vick is now a backup quarterback for the Jets? What would you like to base it off?
Geno Smith did something last year that Michael Vick's never done.
Yes.
I
want to
ask you something, Joe.
Finish a complete season.
No, I want to ask you something.
What's up?
Geno Smith, based off of last year, is a free agent, say. Is he getting $5 million a year?
Absolutely.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Absolutely.
He's coming off his rookie
and
year
what?
For God's sake.
And Angelo, absolutely. He gets – look what Josh McCown got.
Well, that actually is a fair point. If Josh McCown got that kind of money, Geno Smith probably would get the same.
Are you kidding me? And Joe, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We got two people holding, Angelo. We're going to get
all right, guys. Have a good night.
We want to get to Slat. He wants to talk about Geno Super Bowl comment. Go for it.
Not Geno Super Bowl comment. Michael
Vick
Super Bowl comment. Yeah, I didn't hear that comment, and I was looking on the internet. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was just curious where you heard it, and because I'm interested in what the context of it was.
Well, Michael Vick basically said that he believes that he can take the Jets to the Super Bowl.
He said that today, or?
What's the full comment? Do you know it? Do you know the full quote?
The full comment, I don't have it up in front of me. We can, of course, get it if we have to.
I'll read it to you. How about I read it to you, since you don't know it? I just
Hello?
Feel I can help.
You play to win the game.
That's another guy. This is Michael Vick. I just feel like I can help any football team, any organization, particularly this football team, get to a Super Bowl. What was the question? Now, do we know the question?
That seems pretty much. That doesn't sound the same as
the question.
He should be the starting quarterback.
The question was, Michael, you think you can take any team to the Super Bowl. Was this before or after you said 2 weeks ago that this is Geno Smith's team, and I'm comfortable filling up Gatorade bottles and making sure the cleats are tied on everybody?
That's the question? That was the question.
Yeah, in my Jets fantasy forums and reporters.
Okay.
Go ahead, Slash. You got a comment?
That sounds to me like he's towing the company line. Like, he stepped out of the company line by saying that it wasn't an open competition when Rex Ryan was saying it's absolutely an open competition, and that's supposedly what John Idzik is preaching, and Michael Vick went ahead and said something completely different. No, it's not an open competition. I'm not getting the reps. It's Geno's team. And maybe someone came to him and said, listen, you got to tell the company line and just pretend that we're having an open competition here. But I don't think anything's changed. I think the team wants Geno to be the starting quarterback.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. I think if Michael Vick is starting for your football team, you're in serious trouble. You have regressed yet another quarterback that you spent an early draft pick on. You're in a situation where you have no future for the quarterback position, and you're back to square one at the most important position in football. It's as simple as that.
No, I agree. And also, for the record, Geno Smith had a 6.9 yards per attempt average last year, which is pretty damn good for a rookie who really was not ready at all to start in the NFL. He had no business starting, and I think that and, you know, the weapons that we all like to talk about, he had a rough rookie year. And he still came on pretty nicely at the end of the season, and I think the Jets are hoping that he builds on that.
And he finished 500, and they improved from the year before.
Right.
What else
can he improve during the course of the year?
Absolutely. He absolutely did. There were points in games where he took it over. There were a lot of games last year that you can build off of. And, of course, there were a lot of games last year that you can put in the garbage. I completely agree. And, Slats, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're going to get to Matt from the forums. He's been holding for us. He wants to talk about, thank God, cornerbacks. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. This is Stoic Century. How you doing?
What's going on?
Just Stoic. Wanted to say, yeah, how you doing?
How are you?
Good, good. Honestly, my main concern right now is about the wide receivers, but I'm sure you're going to hash that out later. So about the cornerbacks,
yeah.
Me, I'm hearing Dimitri Patterson is the starting number two corner, and that to me is a major problem. I'm wondering if people have read the stat sheet on this guy and they realize he's only played like four games a year. And to me, cornerback is such an important position in Rex's defense. Like, if you're going to run out Kelvin Tate and Quinton Coples as your outside linebackers, then you're going to need those corners to shut guys down if you want to generate a pass. Excuse me.
Oh, Matt, I completely agree with you, Matt. And I think that the Jets are definitely going to have to kind of – you're going to see a little bit of Rex – this is going to be Rex's biggest year in terms of coaching. You've now dwindled away from the Darrell Revises and the Antonio Cromarties and having elite corners. You've dwelled away from having solid safety help over the top. You now see the Jets as an upfront physical defense rather than a secondary pass defense. Rex is going to have to kind of coach in a different way and put this defense together where you're going to say, okay, you know, nobody can run the ball. A couple years ago, the Jets' biggest problem was facing the run and sacking the quarterback. That's why they had the blitz all the time. Now you're saying we can rush four and we can sit back. So what the Jets are going to have to do is kind of re-scheme a little bit. They don't need to send as much pressure on the blitz and kind of drop back more secondary help, which is what's going to need to happen. And you just hope, you hope that McDougal and Milliner are going to step in and have, you know, a very – Milliner especially is going to build off the end of last year and have a special year and step up and be, you know, a top cornerback for the Jets. That's the hope. Angelo, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. I am terrified of the idea of Dimitri Patterson being the opposite side cornerback to Milliner. He's played six games last year. Played nine games the year before. There's no way. You know, Izik, he seems to fit the profile of an Izik player in that he's injury prone and that you might get – he's got high upside if he plays.
Just like the backup quarterback.
Exactly. No, I agree with you, Brandon. I agree with you on that. Look. I mean, God, can you just let me calm down? I just want to relax.
Can't wait.
I just want to breathe deeply for a second, Brandon.
Go for it.
If you look at the people that Stoic, I know, loves John Izik. you still have to, right?
It's kind of
Dimitri Patterson,
people.
Injury prone. Cologne, injury prone. Goodson is injury prone. Vic obviously is injury prone. Jacoby Ford, he's another one that you're going to hope that he stays together. You know, it's a good thing that Woody Johnson owns a Band-Aid company because he might need a few bandages for this team. He's putting this team together with Band-Aids.
Chris Ivory is
an injury prone, and Chris Johnson is coming off an injury. He's coming off a surgery he had in January for his I think it was his MCL. And we hope that these guys stay together. But if not, then we've got a very young secondary. I mean, McDougal, who's another guy, he's coming off an injury. He even drafts guys that are coming off of injuries. McDougal and Milliner had problems. You know, Bill Milliner played games, but he was always getting dinged up. But so we've got McDougal maybe starting, possibly.
Right.
We've got Pryor, Milliner, and I mean, that's a very young secondary, and it worries me.
Oh, it's very worrisome. I completely agree with you, but this is where you're going to have to hope that you're supposedly, and I believe – I'm one of the people that have a very high opinion of Rex Ryan. I think he's a fantastic defensive coach, and because he's the head coach of this team, and because you're in New York, and because he sets high expectations with his mouth, that he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I think last year, the fact they finished 8-8, I thought he should have been in coach of the year running, let alone, you know, been in the running for something, you know, along the lines of being fired at the end of the year. I thought that was ridiculous. I think that you're going to have to say, okay, let's round up our new prospects that we have. We think you can be great. That's why we drafted you in the first round. You go out there, you man center field. You know, you go take a guy like McDougal. You say, you know, you're going to be our, you know, our slot cornerback. You're going to be our third guy. You know, you're going to jump right into the fire. If they fall, it's up to the coach to fix it, because now you have a defensive line, like I said, where you don't have to send blitzes and rely on one-on-one coverage. You can double cover. You can get help from linebackers. You can get help over the top because you can send four guys. That's the glory right now that the Jets have. And that's their bread and butter, is going to be the defensive line.
Yeah.
Matt, you have anything else before you go?
Yeah, let me get something real quick on the quarterback.
Go
stuff.
For it. Oh, go for it.
Vic, you know, to me it's like maybe Vic is better. I don't know at this point, but does it really matter? I mean, to me it's like, is Vic really going to be that much better than Geno that it's worth setting Geno's production back, I mean, setting his development back another year? To me, the answer is no. All right?
Correct.
That's it. Thanks.
But Matt, before you go, yeah. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got a question for you. I want you to try and answer the age-old question for me.
Got it.
What in your mind do you base it off of that you think Michael Vick is a better quarterback right now than Geno Smith?
No, I'm sorry if you misunderstood me. I don't actually believe that Vick is a better quarterback than
Geno Smith. Okay. All right.
My point was it's almost irrelevant because, to me, even if he is – it's not enough of a difference that, to me, would justify benching Geno. You know what I'm saying? Because I
want to
see the young guy in there, let him develop. Because, you know, because it's now Vic was, you know, a top 10, top 15 quarterback, top 20 quarterback, for God's sakes, then yes. But to me, he's just not that. Vic is just not that.
Right.
So Geno's got to start.
No, I completely agree with you. But, Matt, and, you know, we'll keep you on for a second here. I think that the biggest problem that I have is, A, I want to know anybody, you know, and not yourself, obviously, you just stated it. I want to know what reasonings they have that they would think Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith. And Michael Vick is here, and then we'll move on. We have Vill and the Foe on to talk about the safety situation. Michael Vick is here. If Geno Smith comes out of the gate, the Jets have some decent expectations this year. You finish 8-8 with that roster last year. It's safe to say I think the Jets have improved their overall roster coming into this year. So your expectations are you want to be around 8 wins, and if not, you know, you want to try and get to the 9 or 10 mark and get a spot in the playoffs. That's the ultimate goal. But Michael Vick is here. Geno starts 0-3, and it's to the point where you can't watch it. Getting booed out of the stadium. He can't complete short passes. He's throwing interceptions. Michael Vick is a good, in my opinion, is a good stopgap starter where Michael Vick can come in and play to a decent level that gives you a chance to win if Geno Smith falls flat on his face. That doesn't mean he's a better quarterback. That means if Geno Smith falters, the next best person available that could come in and you know, on the quick changing a switch, turning the lights on and off, is Michael Vick. That's why you have him. Because if you're down, say the Jets are down 17-3 at a half against the Bills, week 4 or something like that, and they're 0-3. You bring Michael Vick in that game because everybody's calling for him and Geno can't get it done. Michael Vick can win you that game 21-17. That's what makes the decision of bringing him in. And I appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Dylan the Foe talking about safeties. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you, Dylan?
All right, not bad. Just called in to listen to the show. I'm at work right now, but I wanted to make sure I got a call into you guys. So my question is regarding the safeties. I wanted to know, what did you guys think about Ed Reed? I know some people are saying that there's a possibility he can come back as a safety for the Jets. I wanted to know what you guys thought of that, and if we were to sign Ed Reed, what safeties do you think would get cut, and if that would be an overall good thing for the Jets? And I'll actually take your response off air.
Oh, thank you very much, Villain. And, you know, I think that Ed Reed would be a good fit for the Jets. I think you have a rookie safety coming in. Ed Reed, there's no real financial ties that are going to put you in a space where, you know, it's like, well, does it make sense financially? Does it make sense, you know, roster-wise? I don't think you can tell me a third-string safety on the Jets that you would rather have on the roster than Ed Reed, who can guide along a Calvin Pryor, and I think turn him in to someone that can be great. I think he can turn him into a good safety. I think he can turn him in to an impact player. I think Ed Reed is a very good asset in that if Calvin Pryor is getting torched in a game against the New England Patriots, and Rob Gronkowski got 2 touchdowns against him, and we're sitting here pulling our hair out, you bring Ed Reed in off the bench, again, he can come in, hit that switch, and be a good guy that can play safety for us when the Jets are in desperate need of it. Go ahead, Angelo.
No, I for me, signing Ed Reed has no purpose. I mean, other than maybe kind of an extra coach on the field, because right now, at this point in his career, he's finished. I'd rather just go with Antonio Allen in the emergency situation where Calvin Pryor is not able to play.
Well, you're not talking about getting rid of Antonio Allen, though. You have Josh Bush. I mean, at the end of the day, who are you going to take? You're going to take Josh Bush? You're going to take Ed Reed on the roster?
For the roster spot, well, I mean, to me, it's meh. Who cares? I really don't. Either 6 or 1, half a dozen in the other. Yeah.
You are out of your mind sometimes. You really...
It's such a fantastic... They would have done it already.
The question was from my man, Villain, was that...
Oh,
what do you?
Your man.
Yeah, he's my man. And anybody...
Okay, go ahead.
He asked me what we thought of the Jets bringing in Ed Reed. And it's simple. If Calvin Pryor is in a situation where he's getting torched on the bench, and you have a guy like Ed Reed who can step in and show him, you know, a little bit of how it's done, or pull him aside and say, look, you got to do this, this, that, and that. Watch, you know, watch everything and watch the progressions. Watch this. You know, watch how he plays the over-the-top man. Watch how he does this. That's a great asset rather than having a third-spot safety who's not going to see the field. Ed Reed can bring assets of playing situational football, because he can still pick that ball and take it to the distance, whether you want to admit it or not. He brought some interception life last year. So I think that Ed Reed is a good no-risk signing that could turn – there's no reason why not to bring him back. Let's put it that way. Go ahead.
I for some reason, John Idzik didn't do it. He's the king of no-risk signings.
I think John Idzik thinks that there's no reason to cause a safety controversy.
Okay. Well, I think Michael Vick is a better safety than
me too. Absolutely. I think Michael Vick definitely hits harder than Calvin Pryor, don't you, Angela?
That's right. Do you have any other of your men calling in now?
I don't. We are going to take a commercial break, and we will be
back
right after the break here. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you.
Strategicpeacock.com. new music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem? I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick. What have you been listening to recently? I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess. Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music. Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous? It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death. Oh no! What should I do? I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living. Thanks, Doc!
Listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio, and we have had so much fun. Angelo, have you had fun tonight?
If that's a word for it, sure.
Fun. Are you? You're not discouraged, are you?
Yeah, you know, you guys convinced me about the whole Vic and Geno Smith thing.
I'm on your side now. You no longer think that Michael Vick is currently a better quarterback than Geno Smith?
I don't even think Michael Vick is a better quarterback than Sims Jr. right now, actually.
You know what? I'm changing. I'm going to law school. I think I would really make a good lawyer then.
Oh, I know, and you're not even Jewish. Oh, my God, I should be the one.
But let's move on here and move on away from quarterback controversy and quarterback talk. The Jets are underdogs this year in Vegas. You go through each one of their games. They are favorites in the opening one. They're 8.5-point dogs right now against the Packers, okay? Their home game against the Bears, week 3, they're a pick 'em. Against the Lions, they are a 1-point underdog at home. Against the Chargers, they're a 4-point underdog on the road. Against the Broncos, they're a 6-point underdog at home. Against the Patriots on the road, they're a 7.5-point underdog. Against the Bills at home, they're a 2.5-point favorite. Favorite, in case everybody didn't hear me, I said favorite. The Jets go to Kansas City. They're 6-point underdogs. They face Pittsburgh at home again. They're 2-point underdogs. They face the Bills on the road. They're 2.5-point underdogs. They face the Dolphins at home. Angelo, they're 1-point favorites. I said favorites. They play Minnesota, the Vikings, on the road. And they're 2-point underdogs. That is the biggest joke I see on the screen. They go to Tennessee. They're 1.5-point underdogs. And they round out with New England, 3-point underdogs.
What about the Dolphin game?
Which one? I told you. Favorite.
The last
man.
Dolphin game, the week 17.
Favorite.
In week 17 at Dolphins.
You know, week 17 isn't on the list here.
Ouch.
This is coming from NewYorkJets.com, so don't discredit me here.
Okay. So how many games are they favored in?
How many games are they what? You have to say it correctly.
Favored. How many games are they the favorites?
First game, favorites. Count it. One.
One.
Week 2, underdog. Week 3 is a pick'em. Do you want to count pick'ems as favorites?
No, I do not want to.
Okay. Week 4, underdog. Week 5, underdog. Week 6, underdog. Week 7, underdog. Week 8, Week 7, underdog. Week 8, favorite. Count them, two.
Two.
9, underdog. Pittsburgh, underdog. Bills, underdog. Dolphins, count it, favorite. 1, that's
oh, three.
Vikings, underdog. Tennessee, underdog. New England, underdog. The, out of every game, they are favored in 3 games.
I would say that week 17 at Dolphins, they would be underdog.
Absolutely.
We can assume that. So that would, that's 3 games that they're favored in. Yet, getting 7 games.
It's games. In my opinion, Angelo, there are a couple. I mean, let's be honest here. The week 1 game against the Raiders, you expect to win that game. Week 2 at Green Bay, probably that's a game I would definitely agree with them being underdogs in. Week 3 against the Bears, I think they should be favored at home on Monday Night Football. Week 4 against the Lions, I think they should be favored. The fact that they're 1-point underdogs is, you know, it's almost like a pick 'em. At San Diego, I definitely see the underdog there. Home against the Broncos, I see the underdog there. At New England, I see the underdog there. Favored against the Bills, I agree. Kansas City, at Kansas City, 6-point underdogs, I think is a stretch, don't you?
No, because the Chiefs cause a lot of turnovers, and Geno Smith, we don't know. Now, don't start. We don't know what he's going to be. He turned the ball over 21 times last year. So at the Chiefs is tough. It's always tough to play in Kansas City. I can see them being an underdog in that game. The Chiefs play a very similar style to the Jets with it. The Chiefs, well, what the Jets aspire to. The Chiefs try not to turn the ball over. Alex Smith throws the ball four yards past the line of scrimmage, and they'll beat you with Jamal Charles.
All right,
and the
Pittsburgh.
Defense. So I can
Pittsburgh
see them being
at home.
Underdogs.
2-point underdogs. You agree, disagree?
We never beat the Steelers. The Steelers are Jets kryptonite. Well, actually, a lot of teams are Jets kryptonite, but the Steelers especially.
So you like them in an underdog spot there. You agree?
Oh, yeah.
At Buffalo, 2.5-point underdogs. Agree, disagree?
I can see that game going either way.
You're out of your mind.
I have no problem with them being an underdog.
I have no problem with them being an underdog in every game. They usually are every single year, and they somehow finish around 500. Okay? I think the fact that you're going into Buffalo as 2.5-point underdogs is ridiculous. I think the Jets roster is better than the Bills. They're a better overall football team. That's silly to have them at 2.5-point underdogs.
Only 1-1 last year, so.
Favorites against Miami, 1-point favorites at home. That's then this one I don't even know where to begin. The Jets at the Vikings, 2-point underdogs. How can you tell me that the Jets should be underdogs against the Vikings?
Well, you know, it's the swing. Is it a swing in the NFL for home field advantage?
Now you're talking gambler's language with me.
On a neutral site, I'm talking gambling. You don't know anything about gambling. Is that what you're saying?
Well, 16, hit or stay, Angelo.
It's probably like a point swing.
Minnesota doesn't even know who their quarterback is. They're in complete disarray. They're in rebuilding mode. The Jets are an 8-8 team with a solid defensive line and a good running game. You can't tell me, matching up head-to-head, that the Jets should be underdog. I'm moving on. Jets go to Tennessee, 1.5-point underdogs. You saw what happened last year when they played the Titans. This one I'm a little on the fence about as well. I think when they match up, you don't know who's playing quarterback for the Titans. You don't know what situation that franchise is in. I don't see the Jets being a worse team right now than the Titans. Do you?
No. As long as Geno doesn't try to use the ball as a suppository, we'll be fine. Was that the Titans? I don't remember. But, yeah, we got creamed against the Titans last year.
and now they're coming
to us. And I'll tell you one game. I'll tell you one game that I feel a little disrespect, Angelo. This one, this is coming from the heart. This, the disrespect in this one is coming from the heart a little bit. And that's the last game home against New England. Guess what? We tend to do pretty well in the Rex Ryan era in our building against the New England Patriots. So the fact that we're 3-point underdogs, I think is a – I can't disagree with it, but I think it, I think it's a little disrespectful based off what happened last year at MetLife against the Patriots. Don't you?
Well, sure. The thing is, Brandon?
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing is, the numbers don't add up for Vegas right now. They've got us winning the over and under of 7 games, yet they've only got us favored in 3.
It's because they're too busy playing blackjack, man. I keep telling you this all the time. We're going to go to Keith in Pittsburgh. Keith in Pittsburgh, you are on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing, Jet Nation Radio? How you doing? How you doing, Keith?
How you
doing? Long-time Jet fan. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Long-time Jet fan. Living in the Pittsburgh area, so I'm dealing with Steelers fans on the regular. And I was calling because last season I was really hoping that we would get that win at home against the Steelers, but we lost. So I see this year we have them again on the schedule. So I'm trying to at least ask you guys, what do you think our chances of finally getting a win against the Steelers?
Well, Keith, you live in Pittsburgh, right? And you're a Jets fan?
Right.
I'm gonna give you one of these. All right, you stay with me here. You get one of these tonight.
All right.
That's my salute to you for being a Road Warrior fan. I like that in the Jets fan. Here's the thing, Keith. I sat in that miserable stadium last year against the Steelers when it was such a bad football game, which ended up losing on one play against Emmanuel Sanders torching Antonio Cromartie. I sat in a building. I felt like I was in Pittsburgh because everybody was wearing orange and taking that stupid towel and waving it in my face. So
black and yellow, yeah.
I feel your pain, Keith. I feel your pain. But I think the Jets actually match up okay against Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh is anywhere near where the Steelers want to be or where their expectations are. I think the Jets matched up against them well. I think Geno had one of those. It was that time last year, Keith, when the Jets were going like a heart rate monitor, when they were going up, down, up, down. And we ended up facing Pittsburgh in a down week. I think Geno did not play well. I think the Jets' defense played extremely well. It was a boring, crappy football game, and we lost on a busted play.
I remember making some bets with a buddy of mine who's a Steeler fan. We go back and forth. And when they lost that game, I had to put on a Ben Roethlisberger jersey, and I was like, I was just sick. And I think I might have put a picture on Twitter about it. But, But besides that, the Jets and the Steelers, though, as far as the quarterback situation, because I noticed everybody's trying to make it seem like, Vic should start or Geno. I look at it this way. The best man should get the job. And I think the best man that's suited for that job is Geno.
Keith, I'm with you. I've been saying it. I've been preaching it. Angelo, did you hear Keith in Pittsburgh?
I heard Keith in Pittsburgh. I don't know what you want me to say about it. I refuse to talk about this anymore.
He refused to talk about it.
It's a Sunday night. I can't do it anymore.
Well, I'll look at it this way, because I'm always on Twitter, and I'm always dealing with Destination on Twitter. And, there was one subject, I hate to bring it up, but it was a subject about as far as Vic with the dogs and stuff like that. And I was like, well, that's not my reason why I would want Vic. If anything, it's the fact that he really doesn't stay healthy, and if you remember him playing with the Eagles, he used to, when he would scramble, he would carry the ball like it's a loaf of bread, So it's like, can he stay healthy? That's my main concern, not about what he's done in the past and stuff like that, but him and Geno Smith, they would be a great team together, as far as him monitoring Geno.
I agree with
you, Keith. I would start with Geno.
Of course, Keith, I completely agree with you. Now, Keith, you're on Twitter, and you love Twitter. You don't follow me on Twitter. I thought we had a closer relationship than that.
I try to follow everybody because it's like on Twitter nowadays. I mean, if I'm not following you, I'm so sorry. I will definitely give you a follow. It's just it seems like on this. I don't know. It's just on Twitter. It's just some Jet fans. You know, it's like everybody just has so many different point of views and so many, and it's like sometimes you know confusion can happen
Keith,
and then somebody
you know,
else follow.
You
know,
makes it easier. Keith, you know what makes it easier? There's something
that
you should live by. Brandon Dowling, at Dowling Brandon, is always right, Keith. It's just easy to go in that direction.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, my Twitter handle is at KWeston83. That's me, and I'm a Dallas Jets fan. So hopefully, sooner or later, I would love to catch a Jets game, get out there. Hopefully next month I'm planning a trip to go out there, so hopefully training camp will be going. And I can get out there and meet the players
Keith.
And also meet a lot of these followers on my
Keith,
Twitter.
Keith, you come from
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh. You come up here for a game this year. Tailgating, grills, everything, it's all on me, buddy. You let me know what game you're coming to, okay?
Awesome, awesome. Awesome. All right.
Let me know and we'll take care of it. Thank you so much, Keith. I appreciate the call, buddy.
Hey, thank you. And let's go Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's right, Keith in Pittsburgh. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show tonight, another crazy night and crazy edition of Jet Nation Radio. We will be back at it next week. Hopefully Angelo calms down and relaxes himself regarding his favorite topic, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.